That's right. Our friend Natalie Compton from By the Way appears on other radio shows from time to time, but she always comes back home to us, and she joins us again on the phone. Hey, Natalie, how are you?
Hey, it's good to be home.
I get jealous every time I see you promoting that you're on some other radio show. I'm going to admit that. When I see that on your Instagram, I'm like, why is she doing that show? She'll be on our show. Of course, since we don't pay you to be on the show, you're like, you know what? I'm going to appear on other shows. So, and that's fine. I get it. I don't blame you.
It's always a pleasure to come back.
Well, we appreciate it very much. You're willing to stay up late all the time to be on the show with us because you're, except for when you were in Hawaii, you're never in a good time zone to be on the air with us, I imagine. So thank you very much for doing it, as always. Let's start out. We love living vicariously through you, Natalie, because if you don't, you guys all should follow Natalie on Twitter at NatBCo, N-A-T-B-C-O, is her Twitter feed, and where she details a lot of the travels that she does for By the Way, the concierge travel service of the Washington Post. And you, most excitingly, we talked to you when you were in Hawaii. I haven't talked to you since then, I don't think. What was your overall experience with Hawaii and your advice for people who maybe say, maybe this is the year, maybe as things are opening up, this is when we should go to Hawaii?
I think a lot of people are still thinking that because traveling to other places in the world is still so confusing. So I think a lot of people are still gravitating toward Hawaii, except that this summer is going to be very expensive there. There's not a lot of hotel capacity anymore. A lot of restaurants are pretty full if you didn't get a reservation ahead of time. But other than that, Hawaii is an incredibly lovely, beautiful place. It's, you know, there are still some hurdles to go there, but they are loosening up as more people there get vaccinated. And I think it's still going to be really popular. If you're lucky enough to go there, it's just such a special place. And I had a great time getting to know how locals felt about tourism returning, eating delicious food, getting sunburns. So I highly recommend it for people who can get over there.
Okay, so you said hotel capacity is rough. Is that because so many people are there or because of the pandemic? Is there just less capacity available altogether?
The latter is true all over. There is, I'm sure you know, a staffing shortage in pretty much every industry right now, and the hospitality industry is particularly impacted. So I've heard from a lot of hotels that they can't have all of their rooms open, or maybe not every hotel is actually open again. There's also staffing issues for housekeeping and front desk, and I've heard of general managers having to clean rooms just because they have to and the demand is there. So in terms of Hawaii, yes, there's not, you know, there's such a huge demand there right now that there's just not enough hotel rooms to go around for everybody. But that means that they can charge more and help come back from their horrible year last year. So you got to plan ahead. It's not a fly in and see what happens kind of deal anymore.
You know,
not that it ever was in Hawaii.
Sure. I didn't think of this, but I just recently did travel for the first time for work, and I went down to Orlando and was staying at a big hotel near a convention center. And I was there for, I think, 3 or 4 days, and there was no room service. There was no room cleaning. You could get towels, but there was nobody's coming every day to make the bed or clean up. And that's just how it was. And you said, oh, okay. It used to be, you know, you'd get 500 extra points or whatever if you didn't use the service, but they're just like, yeah, we're not coming to clean the rooms. Call us if you need towels. We'll help you out.
That is true all over. I've heard that from a lot of travelers. It's upsetting to some people, being like, isn't this part of why I stay at a hotel? It's nice to come back and have turned down service. And but no, they are just so spread thin right now that they have to cut back on services because there's just not enough people to clean the rooms that need to be cleaned for new guests and coming to you and putting a little chocolate on your pillow.
Yeah, I miss the chocolate, I'll admit that. But let's talk about Hawaii for another second, because it was you renting a car was tough. You said staying in hotels, trying to get reservations or waiting at restaurants are all difficult things. But you actually you lived in a van a little bit at the time you were there. Not just like drove a van. You lived in a van. Why would you go to Hawaii and live in a van?
So when I was looking for rental cars ahead of the trip, the prices were heinous, and it was just so crazy how much a rental car for the week would have been. It would have been more than the place that I was staying in cost the whole time. And as I was looking through Airbnb, just the bottom of the barrel places to stay, because I was trying to find something as cheap as possible for a hotel or place to stay, I saw camping equipment on there. I was like, all right, that's strange to have an Airbnb listing be just camping equipment. And then I saw a couple vans, and I was like, oh, this van is way cheaper than renting a car in the traditional fashion. maybe it would be funny, maybe it would be fun to just sleep in this van, two birds, one stone. You're just paying for your home for the night as well as a way to get around. So I rented a 1990 Chevy Astro that had been outfitted with a bed and drawers filled with cooking equipment, and hit the road and almost immediately had to have the guy come help me because the battery died and was like, all right, this is a good start. It also didn't have air conditioning and it was 80 degrees in the tropics, and I am somebody who can't hang in the hot weather, so I was just dripping sweat, having a pretty rough time with that idea, but it did make for an interesting Hawaii experience.
Yeah, it's so you, Natalie. I have to say, over the couple of years that I've gotten to know you, you're doing always crazy things. You're staying in a haunted Airbnb, or you're biking to some like remote destination to camp by yourself, and now you're going to Hawaii, and the hotels are expensive. Let's just rent a van and live in it and see what that's like. And I remember, I think it was, I don't know how many nights you did this, but at one point you sent a picture on your Instagram that there was a fan in the van, and you didn't realize that for a while.
God. Yes. The sleeping situation was pretty miserable because I thought, I'm a woman traveling alone. I don't know anything about sleeping in your car, but I feel pretty vulnerable, so I'm going to keep all the doors shut. And it was very hot. And I was just sweating so horribly. I poured a bunch of water over a t-shirt and put that over my head and tried to cool down. But on the last day that I was waking up and getting ready to just fill the thing up with gas and turn it back in, I see this God-saving fan on the ceiling that I could have been using the whole time that would have been really helpful. But of course you discover stuff like that as soon as the trip is over, and you're like, naturally, this is the way it goes.
Oh my gosh. We're speaking with Natalie Compton. She's a travel reporter at the Washington Post. They have their By the Way concierge travel service at bytheway.com. When we come back, she also just wrote an article about traveling to Europe and trying to do that now. What are the pitfalls that you might run into? And if you have a question for her, you can certainly call 312-981-7200. More next here on 720 WGN. 1121, 720 WGN. We're speaking with our friend Natalie Compton from the Washington Post. She writes about travel, and she does a lot of travel herself. I know you love your job, Natalie, but you love travel so much, and you get to do it for a living. I know a lot of movie reviewers, and when you interview them, they have to do a lot of reviewing of movies that really suck. So what seems like the greatest job in the world becomes a bit of a job. Has your job ever been a job? Or you actually, there's no way, because after a year of not being able to really do it, you still must be just so excited to get out and be doing it.
Absolutely. Very excited to be doing it again. Even if it's not to the most glamorous places, it still just feels so exciting to get to go on the road again. But I've been writing about travel for maybe 5 years now, or longer than that. For the Post, it's been 2 years. And I feel like going to that job, it turned into more of a desk job. I'm writing a lot about airlines and restrictions and things like that. So when the travel actually does come up, or when I get to travel in my personal time, I'm still very just feeling very lucky that gets to be a part of the job, and it still just makes me so happy. So the fact that we get to do this again makes it just and last year was obviously so horrible, but getting to travel again feels like a huge gift. And I'm so happy to do it.
Yeah, I can imagine. So you wrote recently about Europe and the pitfalls and things to know about traveling to Europe. Is there a trip to Europe in your future for the Post?
It is not for the Post, but it is on the horizon. I'm going to try to go to Paris on July 11th and take a little side trip down to the Loire Valley to maybe go wine tasting. And we'll see if this can happen. I mean, France has been open to tourists who can and show that they are vaccinated, which I am, and things are opening up. They just dropped their mask mandate a couple weeks ago for outdoor mask situation. Museums are open. It seems like a really vibrant time to be there, and some of the people that I talked to who have gone say it feels like the roaring 20s there, and the energy in town is just really incredible. So gonna go try to do that in just about a week and a half.
So
it feels insane to even say that out loud.
So you have a week and a half to pray that the Delta variant doesn't go so crazy over there that they start shutting things down again. Is that basically what we're thinking?
That is exactly it. And what the CDC has said is that right now they're not changing anything in terms of how they are approaching their guidance toward international or domestic travel. They still say if you're fully vaccinated, go for it. They do warn about being careful if you're going to a place where the variant is, you know, out of control or on the rise. So I have been checking what's happening in France for my own personal use, as well as, you know, seeing what's happening for my job. But yeah, it's crazy. I hope that the Delta variant cools it, because we obviously don't want to go the opposite way after so much progress in the last few months.
That's for sure. I think I just saw, you know, I watch you guys in the New York Times and the numbers that are, you know, put up every day. And I, for the first time in a very long time, I saw a 5% increase in cases that were reported. And I was like, oh my God, here we go. I can't believe we're going to do this all over again. Okay.
I know.
Give us some tips about traveling to Europe. So if people have been holding off and thinking, hey, things are opening up, maybe now's the time when not everybody's rushing there and maybe it's a little easier to see things there. Is that possible, or have we missed that window that now everybody is going and it is going to be tough, just like you were talking about with Hawaii?
There are going to be those same issues of needing a reservation wherever you go. That's true for domestic travel right now. That's true for international travel. You want to make reservations ahead of time if you have special things in mind that you want to do, whether that's going to the Louvre or going to special restaurants that you love, because it's just not guaranteed that you can walk into places anymore right now. But from what I have heard of people who are in Europe now and have recently gone, even though Americans are welcome back in a lot of places, not a lot of other countries are welcome back. So you're not in the same international tourist market right now. It's a lot of local travelers is what people have been telling me. So in Italy, you'll see Italian tourists from other parts of the country there, but you won't see a lot of other people. So it feels like a really special opportunity to travel abroad right now if you can, and if you can do so safely, because it hasn't come back to its full force yet. So it is a really special time to go. A lot of places that are open have things like you need to show proof of a vaccine as you go there, or maybe you need to take a COVID test before you go. Some of them have little specific details that you don't want to miss. Each country can come up with their own special rules. So like in Greece, people have been getting tripped up because they're not reading the fine print and seeing, oh, I need to fill out this form 24 hours ahead of time. They get this QR code, and people are showing up to the airport without the QR code and getting told, like, I mean, they get a little shakedown, and then they have to wait a little longer to get another test at the airport. And it's a whole different thing. So you want to make sure you're reading the fine print before your trip, well before, just so you can gear up ahead of time and not miss those little forms and stuff like that.
So even if you're fully vaccinated and have a card that shows it, there still might be other hoops you need to go through. Are there some countries where you will still need to take a test before you go?
Mm-hmm. Yep. There are definitely countries where you need to take a test, and they might require you to test, like, as you're there to get out of a quarantine. Right now in Italy, unless you take one of these COVID tested flights that you test ahead of time, you're going on a specific flight where they're, I don't know, tracking you or something, then you get to skip a 10-day quarantine. Otherwise you would have to test ahead of time, quarantine for 10 days later there. And so you want to make sure, does whatever rule a country has match up with what your idea of your vacation should be right now? Or do you want to go to a place that's easier? You're showing your vaccine card and getting right in. So you definitely want to pick wisely right now.
I want to say I heard the story. Maybe I'm wrong, but tell me if this is something you need to worry about as well. Knowing, so you mentioned that, like, you know, if you're going to a country, know exactly what that country requires. Italy, you might be required to quarantine for 10 days. Is that how you want to spend your vacation, et cetera? But what if I am going to, say, France, but I'm landing in Germany, and Germany requires something that France doesn't, and I'm changing planes in Germany? I swear I heard about somebody getting stuck at a layover because they didn't realize something, and that kind of delaying their vacation by a day. Is that the type of thing you have to know as well, is exactly where that plane is going and other hiccups you may run into?
You do, because airlines are figuring out all this stuff as it unfolds. Governments are figuring this stuff out. No one is on the same page yet because things are changing so quickly. So a gate agent might tell you one thing, and then you go to your gate and you try to board. The flight attendants tell you a different thing. You show up to a country, they're telling you something different. So what I've heard from travelers who have been going is that you will face hurdles along the way, and someone will tell you, wait, you can't go through Germany, or you can't get on this flight because you don't have this, this, this. Just know that if you go back and know that you covered all your bases as you were looking at stuff, if you have a conversation with somebody and you figure it out, you should be fine. I know that somebody who had just recently gone through Germany, they didn't have, they needed a KN95 mask because the airport was in a certain region that required that. So they had to buy this mask at the airport, and then they had to fly on this different German flight to Greece wearing the new mask. That was part of the regulation that they didn't realize was going to be a thing. For the most part, you should be fine transferring, but you do want to check ahead of time just to make sure that's true, just to make sure the airline doesn't have special requirements that you have to do during that layover or transfer. But you definitely, if you can, a direct flight is going to save you some hassle, because the less people you have to deal with, the better.
Yeah, no kidding. That can really derail your trip. And we're so excited to travel. And I think that's, I imagine, an issue that a lot of us, like, okay, it's time to travel. We can get back out there. We're going to do all this right now, and it's going to be great. And then you didn't read the fine print. You didn't think about where you got to go. You didn't think to rent a car. All of these things have been an issue. We're speaking with Natalie Compton from the Washington the Washington Post. Follow her on Twitter at Nat, the letter B, and then C-O, Natalie B. Compton, Nat B. Co. on Twitter. Let's get a quick check of the news from the News Nation newsroom, and then I want to ask her about actually planning travel. What about these miles that you were all accruing and waiting for, and maybe over the last year built another year's worth of miles from a credit card? Now you're like, oh, I've got the miles to do it. Can you even book those things? We've got more questions for Natalie next on 720 WGN. 1136 720 WGN. Jan Mapubala here with you, chatting with our friend Natalie Compton from, by the way, that's the concierge travel service from the Washington Post. Can't book tickets through them, but you can get lots of great information. You can go to bytheway.com or go to washingtonpost.com and find Natalie there. You can find her here right now on 720 WGN. So let me jump into the mileage thing. I don't know if you've really even looked into this at all, Natalie, but I imagine you guys are hearing from listeners asking about this. There was a time during the pandemic when there were still flights. It was a great time to use your miles because there was so much open inventory. I imagine it's getting harder and harder to do that now, though.
Yes, it is. What I've heard is that last year, I think only about a tenth of all miles were used, which makes sense because nobody was traveling. But now that all these people have so many miles and so many people are trying to use them now, it's costing a lot more miles to get you the same thing as it was pre-pandemic. So what I've heard is that people are encouraged to use them sooner or later because they might continue to go down in value as people are still gearing up to use them again, and we have too many stockpiled. So use your miles as quickly as you can.
Wait a minute. What do you mean they might go down in value? You think the airlines are going to jack up like what it costs to use a ticket, the amount of miles?
Exactly. People have already been complaining about this happening, and airlines say like they have to, and it is on the horizon. I know Southwest and American, some airlines are already talking about this happening. Korean Air pushed off devaluing their miles until 2023, I think. So it is in the card. So I would use them as soon as you can.
They really should be grandfathered in, shouldn't they, from when you acquired yeah. them? I think that would be fair. I mean, yeah. I understand that they just went through a year with like making no money, but you know, United's ordering all these planes and things seem to be picking back up. Come on. Mm-hmm. Although the airlines did like, you know, they kept your status for an extra year. They did make some concessions. You have to give them that at least.
Yes. I would say that the bigger problem right now is airlines are struggling at the moment. I don't know if you've had this happen to people in your life, but I've talked to dozens and dozens of travelers, seen this all over Twitter in people dealing with insane delays, flight changes, and cancellations. Right now with summer travel picking up heavily, and summer weather being really bad, there have been lots of just disaster situations with flights, people with flights that were delayed 16 hours and they're stuck at the airport and they can't get their luggage back and they're kind of trapped. People are missing weddings. And a lot of that is due to the staffing shortage as well. So I think that airlines need to be figuring out their staffing situation before they go take a look at the miles and devalue them for us.
Our friend and your friend Hannah Sampson wrote an article about traveling cheap is now over. It's now expensive to travel again. And you guys, she mentions Hopper in there, and there's a lot of other of these, you know, Expedia used to be a famous one, Orbitz. There's all sorts of places to go. Do you really find great deals on those, or do you just search yourself? Because Hopper is, for some reason, in my social media right now with an ad. I don't know what I did that they're like locked in on me now. But it's always like, I couldn't believe it was $3 to go to Paris or something like that. I'm like, get out of here. It's not that cheap. There's no way.
For a while there, I really enjoyed using Hopper for flight tracking or hotel tracking to find deals. They also have some extra perk services. Like if you find a really low, they'll track flights for you. If they find a really low one, you can put it on hold, which you couldn't do with a normal airline. You have to pay like a couple bucks a day or something to hold this rate. So you can talk about it with your friends, decide, do I want to go on this trip? So I think services like that have their perks. I know that booking directly with an airline could be more helpful if you're dealing with changes and cancellations and stuff like that. I've heard of people being really grateful that they went to the airline directly instead of an Expedia or something. Sometimes it's more tough to get like a refund back from those places. So deal wise, yeah, I think deals pop up in a lot of different ways, and sometimes it could be worth it to just take advantage of that. But for everyday travel stuff, I tend to price shop using Skyscanner and try to find best deals using price alerts through Google or Skyscanner to try to get a better deal.
So do you still do that, Natalie, or is that a product of working for a place where you've got to reimburse things all the time and they're keeping an eye on it? Because like in Chicago where I work and I travel, I just fly United because they have the most flights. Mm-hmm. I'm near O'Hare. I don't want to go to Midway. All of these things. I could fly American. They have a ton of flights too, but I've just always done United. So I don't price shop around unless it's like some mm-hmm. ridiculous amount. I'm like, okay, I have to get somewhere and I have to see if there's something cheaper than that. I did fly American recently because of that, but for the most mm-hmm. part, I don't do a bunch of that. But you're still checking them all out and trying to find the cheapest thing?
I have to do that for work for sure. They aren't going to make me do basic economy on Spirit, but if something can be done cheaper, they will always encourage me to do that, even though I would like to fly Delta 100% of the time at this point. Yeah. But
no offense, Spirit.
I do have to find it. Spirit.
I love you, Spirit, but basic on Spirit, I'm just not doing that anymore. I'm not standing there holding the strap like I'm on the subway.
I am not going to be behind another fight on a plane. I'm sorry, Spirit. I don't need to do that anymore. But
hey, that is even that's even right happening here on Delta now. That's how bad it's getting. The Gentile airline has fights on it now too, you know.
They really do, unfortunately. But yeah, and then for my own personal travel, for going to France, Iceland Air was the cheapest. It's an airline I've never flown before. And instead of going with my, you know, Delta or Air France or somebody where I knew I'd be getting miles that would go towards something, I'm going to take a chance with Iceland Air because it was cheaper.
Now, how much cheaper was it? Like, because, you know, United and all whoever else you're flying, they have partner airlines where you could sort of earn mm-hmm. some miles. So you went with somebody where you're not earning anything. Was it like, you know, $500 in savings? Like, how much do you have to save for you to say, yeah, it's not worth it to go with where I'm going to get the miles or build up my, you know, credibility for another, you know, Premier Gold, whatever. I'm going Iceland Air and trying something new. How much do you have to save to decide that?
I get, like, I almost black out when I see the lowest price and just go, okay, I got to do that. And then I'll get to the airport and I'll spend the same amount of money that it would have cost to take a better flight by getting like a meal at the airport and be like, what is wrong with you? You could have flown Delta for the price of this taco at the airport. So usually I think for this flight, it was almost $600 round trip. And for Delta, it was like $800, $900. And to me, that was a big saving. And I think even with some other airlines that were like United or American, it was still at least a couple hundred more expensive. So I'm probably sacrificing comfort, and I don't even know if they do drinks on board, but I just...
You have to do drinks on board an overseas flight, don't you? People are going to be dehydrated by the time they get there.
They're like, good luck. You're just back here, and we're not checking on you until we land.
There aren't... It's a cargo plane. It's a cargo plane. You'll be strapped in. You're going to parachute out over Iceland, catch another bus, and then you'll end up in Paris. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Yep. And I'm looking forward to it. I don't care if they smushed me in with 1,000 people on that flight. I'm so excited to just get the opportunity to go again.
That's cool. Now
I'll be in cattle class.
How does that work for you? Because you're not going for work. This is going for you. But the whole time, are you mm-hmm. thinking? Do you try to like completely separate and like, all right, I'm not working. I'm not thinking about it. I'm just having fun. Or are you constantly thinking like, oh, I could write about this, or I should pitch this idea, or oh, I had this experience I'll have to talk about.
I don't think I've not thought about story ideas when I travel in like 6 years. Yeah. It's just something that happens naturally where you're like, this would be funny, or this is something that I think other travelers would know. And I think maybe that's the freelance life too, of just always having to think about work and what your next story is going to be.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of stuff that, I also think the job is fun. So I'm always taking notes, even if it's not going to be something for a story. I'm just compulsively a note taker in case it ends up being a good story later. And I think, well, I will be thinking about stuff like that. It's still going to be so fun and enjoyable to be going through the trials and tribulations of traveling again right now.
Yeah. Now, Natalie, you are notoriously not a touristy person. You get out and get the local culture and local foods and meet people and stuff like that. So what are you looking forward to doing in France that maybe the ordinary traveler from the U.S. would not be doing?
I don't know if there will be something that is too crazy at this point. I'm going to be happy to see some people that I know there that I haven't seen in a long time. I guess something more quote unquote off the beaten path is that we'll be taking a train from Paris to the city called Angers. And I don't want to rent a rental car because it's expensive. And I'm trying to keep this. I know that going to bistros and sitting in cafes all day drinking wine is going to cost money, so I'm trying to cut costs in every other way. So going to take a train down, rent bikes, and try to bike to wineries and see if that is possible. The forecast is looking pretty rainy and kind of cold there. So,
and you're going to drink somewhere, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I don't think it's going to be like playing flip cup with wine somewhere, but we will be doing wine tasting, and I hope that that goes as well as it goes in my head right now. I'm hoping it works out, but you never know. There's a backup taxi that I'm sure can be arranged in case that is a bad plan.
And you'll just throw the bikes in the trunk, or what will happen there?
Monsieur, do you mind if I put this bike in your tiny Peugeot?
Freaking American.
Yeah. it's going to be an interesting time. But yeah, otherwise, I think it's just taking advantage of all the things that French people like too. Sitting in a cafe for a million years, people watching, drinking coffee, eating baguettes, drinking wine, some tartare in the mix. I'm just excited to eat and drink pretty much.
How long is the trip?
The trip's 11 days. The trip's 10 days? 10 or 11 days. And because looking at Airbnbs before the announcement of France reopening happened, I think that the deal that I got felt pretty special and feeling good about it. So I just really hope that I'm excited, but I want to remain kind of not too overly excited in case something changes at the last minute. But
of course,
right now it feels good.
Of course. And so about 9 days there, because you lose a day travel on each end. Mm-hmm. Paris, yep. And then this other town you're staying in, is that it, just basically two places, or are you hopping around the country the whole time?
Yeah, just two places. I actually looked at, have you heard of woofing?
No.
It's this organic farm organization all over the world, and you can try to contact host and go to different farms and work there, and they'll put you up and feed you. So I tried to do that in wine country, and it just didn't work out. There weren't enough places in the area that I wanted to go see, but that was an initial thought of maybe that would be a way to save money and be able to travel and do something different. But no, we are just going to go to Paris and then wine country for a couple of days and then race back and catch our flight the next day.
And Iceland Air straight to Paris, or are there some weird three different layover things before you get to Paris?
There will be Reykjavik, and I wish there was time to do a layover. Iceland Air does this thing where you could build in a layover there for a day and go check out the country a little bit. And I kind of regret not doing that because I have never been there and people love it. So next time when I go back to use my newly accrued Iceland Air miles, I'll have to do that layover because it just sounds like a great time. I don't know what I was thinking.
Well, yeah, especially if you could get one night and go see the Northern Lights. I know that's crapshoot on whether that would happen or not, but that would be, how cool would that be?
It would be pretty special. You got to go to the Blue Lagoon and drink a beer in there. If you didn't take a picture of that, I don't think you get to call yourself a traveler, I guess. It's a really popular spot, but never been. Have you been?
I've never been. I've been to Europe once, and it was 20 years ago. So it's time.
Yeah.
It's time to get back.
Yeah,
for
you
sure.
Got to get back.
Well, this is what we do, Natalie.
Call your name.
None of us gets travel anymore. We just listen to you and watch your Instagram posts and see where you're going, and we live vicariously. Our friend Natalie Compton from The Washington Post. Go to bytheway.com or follow her on Twitter at NatBCO, NatBCO. Have a great trip. I'm sure I will harass you while you're away. If not, we'll talk to you when you get back.
Sounds great. All right. Have a good night.
All right. Have a great weekend and a happy 4th to you, Natalie Compton. Thank you so much. All right. We've got a quick break and then a little bit more before we get into the newsroom here on 720 WGN.